This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Keeping Up with the Kafashians, the place where the threads of medical expertise weave into the fabric of family life. I'm Afif, a neonatologist deeply intrigued by the earliest stages of life and how our beginnings shape us.
And I'm Anne, an obstetric anesthesiologist with a heart firmly rooted in maternal health and well-being. My passion lies in ensuring safety and comfort during one of life's most remarkable journeys, childbirth.
Together, we navigate the intricate journey of professional practice and personal experience, especially as it pertains to parenting, health, and the profound experience of raising children.
Each episode, we invite you into conversations that bridge the gap between science and the living room, sharing insights from our fields, stories from our lives, and discussions that connect with everyone, from healthcare professionals to parents and those interested in the marvels of human development.
We're here to explore, to question, and to celebrate the incredible journey of life, from the first heartbeat to the first steps and beyond. Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kafashians.
Let's begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the new podcast, brilliantly named Keeping Up with the Kafashians.
I had nothing to do with that name.
But you like it, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I do.
That was a long pause.
I know. And this other family that sort of has the same name, I wasn't inspired by that at all. I always thought that this was a brilliant name without really any external influences.
Ever.
Exactly. So my name is Afif El-Kafash. I am a neonatologist pediatrician. I'm a researcher. I'm a professor of pediatrics and I work in the Rotunda Hospital. And your good self?
I'm Anne Doherty. I'm a consultant anesthesiologist. And I can say that fast like that because I've been practicing saying it for about nearly 20 years now.
You used to be an anesthetist until very recently.
Well, it's a slight name change.
Yeah.
Generally, anaesthetist, anaesthesiologist, same thing. But I work in the Rotunda primarily. I also work in the Mater Public Hospital. I look after pregnant women. We're a very invisible specialty. And
yeah.
we're good at being that way.
Yeah, exactly. And you're very good at being invisible from my life sometimes as well.
I've worked hard doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
I avoid them like the plague at work.
So for those of you that don't know, we are husband and wife. We work together in the Rotunda Hospital, but we rarely see each other in the Rotunda Hospital.
Yep.
Unless there's sometimes a major disaster where it warrants having an anaesthetist and an obstetrician and a neonatologist all in the same room.
Yeah.
And I often get distracted when Anne is in the
room. He gets really excited. He thinks it's so sweet. And I like, inevitably, he's waiting for the baby to be born. But I'm in like midst of.
So you're just trying to stabilize somebody and I'm trying to have the chats until the baby comes out.
He's over there. He's like, hi. And I'm like, I'm very busy and important right now. But that sounds very harsh. But no,
I've learned not to intervene. So I'm from Kuwait. Well, I was born in Kuwait.
Yeah.
But my father is Palestinian and he...
He's from the West Bank.
Yeah, he sort of found his way to Kuwait because of everything that was going on. We won't get into that. This is not that kind of podcast. But yeah, I grew up in Kuwait and then I moved here when I was 17.
Mm-hmm. A baby,
exactly. And it took me a while to get accustomed to Irish culture. We might talk about that in a future episode. But where are you from, Anne?
I'm from Mayo. Lovely Mayo.
She's from the West County, Mayo.
Yep.
Particularly from which little town?
Little town. I'm from a great town. I'm from Ballina.
So it seems to me that everybody is from Ballina.
Everybody is from Ballina.
And it's ridiculous because the small town in the west of Ireland
has populated the entire universe. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And I'll tell you this crazy story. So we both had to go to Toronto to finish our training and do something called a fellowship, which is, you know, extra specialist training.
Subspecialty
training in the fields of our interest. So I was going to do a neonatology fellowship and was going to do
An obstetric anesthesia
fellowship. And I had to travel to Toronto to interview for this fellowship. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that there was a conference on anyway, which was great. So I went to the conference and also went to interview. And I was asked to meet one of the head research guys as part of my interview, and they told me that his name was Patrick McNamara. And I was like,
good old Irish name.
Good old Irish name. I'm going to really, really play the Irish card here. Yeah. I've been in Ireland.
You were in Ireland over 10 years at that stage.
No, way more than that.
When you went?
I came in 96.
Okay, about 14 years maybe.
Yeah, nearly 20. Yeah, 14, 15, 16 years anyway.
Yeah.
And just to, I suppose, add that the guy had no idea that I had Irish connections or Irish roots.
Nope.
He just knew that an Afif El-Kafash randomer was going to go and meet him.
There's no father in the Afif.
So I walk into his office and I sit down and he is, you know, very professional in a very kind of Canadian way. He's been there for ages. And I look over his head and lo and behold, behind him was an aerial photograph of St. Meredith's Cathedral.
Oh, in my Ballina, hometown.
In Ballina, County Mayo, where we got married.
Yep.
So I look up and I said, hello, Professor McNamara. That's St. Meredith's Cathedral in Ballina, County Mayo. Well, he nearly fell off his chair.
Yeah, he could actually, if he could actually see my house from there.
He nearly fell off his chair. He was like, how is this random Arab able to pinpoint this cathedral in the west of Ireland? And he was like, I'm sorry, let's rewind here. How do you know this? I've been here 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever pointed that out to me or, you know, even mentioned this photograph. You come and sit down and within 5 seconds you tell me what it is. I was like, my wife is from Ballina. In fact, I can see her house.
Absolutely.
Behind it. And, you know, he was like, oh, really? What's your wife's name? So I tell him who you are. And I was like, yeah, I know the name. I know the name. So anyway, we have a very good interview after that. And then, of course, I leave the room and I call you straight away. And I was like, you'll never guess.
And I went, oh, my God, I think I know them.
You were like, I think his dad taught me math.
No, his dad taught my brother's math.
And then I hang up. I continue going to the conference. I meet Patrick McNamara 24 hours later the next day. And he looks at me across the room and he points and beckons me with his finger. And he's like, come here. And I walk over to him and he was like, my mother rang me last night.
Good old Eileen.
I was like, what? He was like, yes. She told me I better give you a job.
So
Anne rang her mother to tell her.
Absolutely.
Turns out that Anne's mother and Patrick's mother are best friends. And then this is how I got the job. Pure nepotism.
I wouldn't say pure nepotism. I'd say you kind of had it fairly in the bag by the time you were walking in the door, to be honest. But
it was very funny. And I was like, okay, this is the randomest Ballina connection.
No.
Fast forward 5 years
everybody
later.
Everybody is from Ballina. They just don't realise it. And I would say to everyone listening, all five of you, that if you're not sure if you're from Ballina or not, just ask a few questions. I guarantee, like, even Biden is from Ballina. Put it that way.
Yeah. And then then fast forward a few years later when we were standing in the Penguin queue in Dubai Mall.
Yeah.
In Dubai with a random Filipino dude who was ushering us. And, you know, because we had to have a bit of a wait, he was kind of chatting to people and he goes to you, so where are you from?
I said Ireland. And he goes, what part of Ireland? And I said Mayo. And he said, what part of Mayo? And I said Ballina.
So this random Filipino guy goes, oh, Ballina, I know it well. My sister works there.
Yeah, his sister's in Ballina. And I said, of course she is.
And
of
course she is. I just give up.
Everyone's from Ballina.
Everyone's from Ballina.
Then you came to work in the Rotunda. You were sharing your office with somebody from
Ballina.
Ballina.
Yes.
And then you were talking to your colleagues and they all have relations in
Ballina.
Ballina. There you go.
But you know what I've noticed? Everybody leaves Ballina. That's why you keep meeting them.
No, that's not true. Ballina's full of fabulous people. I can't believe you said that.
Well, you know, that's what
you
I
see. You better not go home to Ballina anytime soon, Afif, is all I can say after saying that.
I'm sorry to the one person from Ballina that's probably listening out of sympathy.
No, the five listeners are all from Ballina.
Out of sympathy, I think you forced them to listen to this. So how did we meet?
Well, do you want the real story or do you want the story we tell the kids?
Oh, no, the kids won't be listening.
Okay,
so
true.
Yep. I'll tell you how we met. So we both started medicine in the same year, but we went to different universities. I went to Trinity and you went to UCD.
Boo, Trinity.
And our paths didn't cross until very, very late into our training after we graduated.
Yeah.
And then we met in a very fine establishment called Legs.
Yeah.
For those of you who are not from Dublin.
Well, we met a little bit earlier in the Bleeding Horse.
In the Bleeding Horse. Yes, briefly.
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 But you were like, every time we turned around, you were there. You were like starting to stalk me.
I think I was just in your vicinity because I liked having conversations with you.
You were hovering.
I was hovering a lot. And then when I met you again in Legs, you were so charmed by my wit, by my good looks, and totally. By my humor.
Oh, that's that you so just, accurate.
That you
yeah.
just fell madly in love with me straight
yeah.
away.
Yeah, no.
How many times did I ask you for your phone number?
So the whole way through the night, and we had a crowd of mutual friends that we were with. Every time I turned around, he was there. He was starting up conversations. I was trying to finish them. He was a very nice guy. I just wasn't feeling it at that stage. Sorry, Afif. Oh, he's actually devastated. Sorry, love. But then we stayed very late. We'll put it that way. We stayed very, very, very late.
God bless the smoking ban.
Yeah. And we stayed very late and we were out the back having, that was the day when everybody would social smoke.
We don't smoke anymore.
No, we don't. We definitely don't. 100%. He finally asked me, I think for the fifth time, for my number.
My favorite four words in the English language are, you wore me down.
Oh my God. Like, that's so not PC now. You can't actually say that anymore.
It's okay. I can because this is behind a paywall.
The five people from Ballina that are listening won't tell anyone.
And nobody's listening to this. Yeah. So what should
that's
people
terrible.
What should people expect from Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
A little bit of banter, a little bit of crack, further development of things that kind of maybe you discussed briefly in the baby tribe. Some family stuff, some parenting stuff, some healthcare stuff,
yeah.
some science stuff.
Yeah.
But something accurate, accessible.
Yes. So you're gonna dumb things down for people.
No. That's a terrible thing to say.
I thought that's what you meant.
No. I hate when you say things like that. No, you don't dumb things down. You just make it accessible for people. That's yeah. not dumbing things down.
I was just.
I know, but it bugs me. Don't do that.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. So, yeah, so we're going to expand on things that are mentioned on the Baby Tribe with myself and Katie. Katie said she couldn't handle doing another podcast with
He's
me.
Very high maintenance.
I'm not. I'm really easy to work with.
I'd say you're easy to work for. It's slightly different.
It is slightly different, yeah. I thought I'd draft you in because you always get me so many likes when I put your mug on my Instagram page.
Oh, I know. You see, he's very conflicted about this. I make him more relatable. It really bothers him that he needs me to make him relatable.
I know. Every time I post a picture with you.
Well, actually, the dog gets more views than I do. Let's be honest. If you could put the dog here and have a conversation with him instead, you would. Let's be clear.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
In our house, there is absolutely zero doubt. If the place was burning down, Afif would grab the dog, run out the front door and say, it's okay, I've got Buddy. And that'd be him done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the rest of you have to fend for yourselves. Yeah, the kids are old enough.
They're still your children.
I suppose. Yeah.
Actually, speaking of being relatable, I listened to the Niamh Kavanagh episode of The Baby Tribe. Oh, I love her. I actually think she's amazing. She's this really, you know, the way they talk about the everyman. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like the every woman. She's this really warm, successful, down to earth, kind of balanced person. She's really nice. And then I was listening to Agony Rants in the car last week. And who did they start talking about? Garrod Farrelly brought you up.
What did he say? He said the thing about Afif is four things. He is.
Oh, I love the way you've this memorized, Afif. Go on. How many times did you listen to it? Go on, admit.
About four times.
Oh, 40. 40. Go on.
He said, I'm amazing. I'm an amazing conversationalist. I'm empathetic. I'm an artist. And Niamh Kavanagh threw in that I'm a musician. That's a bit of an exaggeration. A bit of a stretch, in fairness. Yeah. Yeah, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
Well,
yeah.
You have played saxophone in public, let's be clear.
Yeah.
I didn't say you played it well, but I'm sorry. Oh, that's a bad burn.
Ouch, ouch. And you said you were very jealous. Why were you jealous, Anne?
When I listened to it, I thought, oh my God, that man Afif sounds amazing. I'd love to meet him someday. I know, you are. You are warm, and I understand that other people think you're a good listener, but you have what I call husband ears. And
yeah,
I think it comes on once the ring goes on the finger, there's a specific frequency that's tuned out that corresponds to your wife's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that does exist. It's a thing. It's like mommy school.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
I listen intently to all the women I interview on the Baby Tribe podcast.
I know. And like...
I use all my listening on them. Sorry.
Yeah. Can't Whereas do I'm home. Like wife interrupted. Isn't that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what are we going to talk about today? So we said that we're going to pick up with things that are mentioned.
And I think I know what you're going to start talking about.
What do you think I'm going to start talking about?
You're going to bring up the microbiome and it's going to really bug me.
Why? Because the microbiome is amazing. Have you heard of the microbiome, Anne? Like, have you heard about it?
He's deliberately triggering me. I just like to point this out. So about 7 years ago, I read a book called I Contain Multitudes. And it's all about our relationship with bacteria and our relationship with our microbiome and how important a part of our body it is and how important a part of the world bacteria are and how we need to adjust our attitudes and understand the difference between good and bad bacteria in terms of our survival. And I used to go on about it and he basically wouldn't listen to a word I was saying, kind of putting it down to, oh, Anne's gone all hippy dippy again, because every now and then I read things and when I try and talk to him about them, he puts it down to like hippy dippy BS, right?
I don't remember that.
I know you don't. And this, you'll see this is not an uncommon theme. Wait till we talk about immunology or something like that, or the gut brain axis. I've been talking about that. I kept on saying microbiome, immunology, this is the future of medicine. This is where we need to go to next. This is the, it's like the equivalent of exploring the depths of the ocean. We need to go into that next. And he's like, no. Now, Guanafif, did you discover the microbiome? Did you?
I think I've learned a lot about it last year when I had to research a lot of topics for the Baby Tribe season 1 and 2. We talked
did
about the microbiome.
Did you think of me at all while you read? Nothing triggered, no?
No, because I almost like discovered the microbiome myself, didn't I?
Oh, completely, completely. Yeah. It didn't exist until you named it. Did you come up with the name of Aviv?
Halfway through our prep for this episode, I actually remember, it's like, oh gosh, I think Anne actually used to talk about the microbiome all the time.
All the time.
And I just never listened.
Yeah, you just put it down to hippy dippy.
I thought it was a hippie thing that really didn't need for us to worry about. Mm. And now it's actually central to what we do in neonates a lot of the time. And we are learning more and more that it is implicated in pretty much a lot of disease states, health conditions in adulthood. Isn't that right?
Yeah, like I think when I read that book, and I just found it a really accessible way to start learning about it. It's called I Contain Multitudes. I realized that our views as healthcare providers, often we view bacteria or even commensals that are normally present on our bodies that are harmless, nearly like aliens, rather than really being a part of our, a productive part of our environment.
So before we go any further, can we just explain what a microbiome is? Because I know some listeners may not be familiar with the term.
Okay, but before you do that, can I just finish what I was going to say?
Let me interrupt you all the time. Sorry, go on.
That might be another common theme you're starting to kind of see in this. But anyway, what we have to realize, though, is that obviously bacteria and everything like that was here way before we were. They were the first occupants on this planet. We weren't. And we, as life evolved, it evolved with bacteria. And they're so important to our survival, to how we function and how the world around us functions. And we have to be informed on that and we have to cultivate it, nearly like you'd cultivate a garden. So now, Afif, would you like to explain what a microbiome is in that context?
No, I think you'll do a much better job than me.
Go ahead. No, go. I insist. Go on. Crack on. Since you discovered it.
Okay, I didn't discover it. I never said or claimed that I discovered it. So, I mean, the microbiome is the collection of microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, fungi, parasites.
Reflex. The cheese. I'm sorry. God.
This is terrible. Sorry. So, who's the kindest guy in the hospital?
I don't know. What?
The ultrasound guy.
Oh my God. Did that come from me going, fun guy?
Can I? Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stop interrupting with funny jokes
anymore.
Can I
point out that she interrupted me this time?
Yeah, no, if that's what that triggers, I've got a lesson learned. I won't do it again. Go ahead.
So I think we should actually include a dad joke, a weekly dad joke
section. No.
Okay, anyway, bacteria, viruses, parasites, funguses, and other organisms that are present in our gut, but also in our lungs, sitting on our skin and other parts of our body. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about the microbiome, we mainly talk about the gut microbiome. So the bacteria that sit and reside in the
gastrointestinal tract.
Yeah. And really the crucial thing here is maintaining a balance between good and bad bacteria and having a higher concentration of commensals, good bacteria that we can have a symbiotic relationship with, rather than potentially harmful bacteria that sit in our gut.
Yeah. And can I say one thing? Like when we were in college learning many moons ago, like it's a couple of decades ago now, like God help us. But I was nearly taught that like everything inside the gut was major ick and potentially dangerous, you know, and that's how I came out of college with the view on all of the gut bacteria, you know, that they were just waiting to cause a problem. And we know so much more about it now. You know, there's functions that they perform for us that we cannot do without.
Yeah.
And we need to understand more about how we live together and how we get the best out of having them there.
Yeah. So when we talk about symbiosis, what we mean is a mutually beneficial relationship. Isn't that right? So they survive inside us, but in return, they actually help us with a wide range of activities, such as the synthesis of vitamins, immune system maturation, digestion of complex sugars, energy homeostasis. And interestingly, they can also influence how our genes are expressed.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's before we even get into the gut brain axis, which is a whole other thing that we'll talk about another time because I'm really into that.
Yeah. You love the gut brain axis.
Yeah.
But we will talk about that in a future episode. But back to how they influence our genetics, they can actually, depending on how they're behaving or how they're treated as such, they can decide how our genetic makeup is expressed and influences function. So although you may have the same genetic sequence in a particular chromosome, different bacteria will determine how those different genes are expressed. So same gene, different function, sometimes useful, sometimes harmful. Yeah. And why are we harping on about this? It's because we're learning more and more that we really need to look after our gut health by maintaining a healthy diet, a healthy lifestyle, because so many mechanisms are determined and implicated by the makeup of our microbiome. Isn't that right?
No, I totally agree. Like what you feed yourself, you feed your microbiome. So, you know, we were always taught, oh, eat five a day, lots of fiber, you know, this, that and the other, and you'll have a good healthy tummy and blah, blah, blah. But it's more than that. It's actually so much more than that. If you feed your microbiome a load of sugar, you promote growth of the bacteria that utilize that as their food. If you feed your gut a load of fiber, you promote growth of bacteria that will thrive in that environment. And it's kind of that simple. So when you promote growth of bacteria that should be there, that work well with your body, they will promote activity, the positive activity of your genome. They will promote the positive activity of your immune cells and all of those kind of things. And that can have effect, like long lasting effects on you in terms of things like, I know I'm going to say it, but it's anti-cancer activity. So you eat for your future, if that's any kind of explanatory statement that it would help.
Just to talk about one example of how these things work, the interplay between our genetics, the microbiome in our gut, and diseases. Mm. So there's a gene called the MHC gene. Do you remember that one? Major histocompatibility complex class 1 and 2 genes.
Yeah.
That are considered to be one of the most polymorphic genes in humans. So what do I mean by polymorphic? Means that they come in a lot of subtle variations that are within normal. Okay, so not all genes are the same. There can sometimes be a lot of different variations of the same gene. And this one in particular has significant polymorphism. And we know that the variations of these genes can sometimes make a human or an individual more susceptible to having certain diseases, mainly immune-mediated diseases.
Yeah.
Things like diabetes, things like Crohn's disease, mm-hmm. things like rheumatoid arthritis,
ulcerative colitis,
and ulcerative colitis, yeah. irritable bowel. So mm. sometimes we could be preconditioned to have those diseases down the line when we grow. Yeah. And what we're learning is that the gut microbiome has been described to be involved in the outset of the development of these autoimmune diseases. If we don't look after our gut health and our microbiome, that can sometimes be a gatekeeper against those polymorphic genes.
100%.
We may actually then increase our risk of developing those diseases down the line.
Yeah.
So the message here that if we look after our gut health, if we maintain a good microbiome, that we may be less likely to develop those conditions, even if we had the genetic propensity to do so. Isn't that right?
100%.
We know that sometimes having an abnormal microbiome and a genetic propensity to develop those conditions means that we may get those diseases quicker or sooner as well on the flip side. Yeah. So it just shows you how important maintaining a healthy microbiome is. And I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering, well, how do we maintain a microbiome? Mm-hmm. And I think we haven't really figured that piece out just yet. We know in general, avoiding processed food.
Yes.
Limiting, not 100% avoiding, like limiting processed food, especially processed meats, things that have processed sugar.
Yeah, and I think processed sugar is a very good way to put it, because like natural sugars occur in fruits and some vegetables, and it doesn't mean that they're bad for you.
And you're consuming because them you're with fiber.
Exactly. You're consuming them with fiber. And what that does is it changes how your gut metabolizes it and where it metabolizes it. And it makes it available for the appropriate bacteria at the appropriate stage of your gut. And then it also actually kind of coats your gut in a way that protects it as well. So like it's a complex sequence of events that occurs without our knowledge once we eat a good healthy diet.
Yeah. So fructose is a big culprit.
Oh, fructose.
It's the sweetest sugar.
Yeah, it's the reason why things taste sweet, essentially.
Yeah, and if you see things that have, and the problem is most food labels don't actually specify what type of sugar there is.
It just says
your sugar.
Yeah.
Fructose is the big culprit. It actually can promote the development of the bad bacteria in the tummy. It is usually then metabolized in the gut by those bacteria to triglycerides. And those triglycerides then can go into our liver and cause other issues as well. So excess fructose intake can actually keep us in a prolonged state of inflammation.
100%. Yeah.
And that is not good.
And actually high fructose intake is associated with like metabolic disorders.
Yeah.
Such as high cholesterol, obesity, fatty liver, all of those kind of things, diabetes, all of those things.
And I heard a crazy statistic recently.
Oh, that God.
80% of the American population are in a state of constant inflammation.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It's actually scary when you think about it. And when you see that the root cause of all of the diseases that are now increasing in frequency in the population, type 2 diabetes, Crohn's disease, excessive weight, obesity, these are all modulated by our diet and the interplay between our genetics, our microbiome,
and our diet. Inflammatory balance.
Yeah,
100%. And our sedentary lifestyle, because muscle is an anti-inflammatory. The more muscle you have, the more anti-inflammatory balance you have.
Yeah.
It's muscle versus... muscle and microbiome are probably your two things that will actually protect you in terms of longevity.
Yeah, so building muscle is good for longevity, and it has this great side effect of making you look pretty awesome. Amazing as well. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Oh, totally, just like you, Afif.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. I didn't set you up for that.
I know.
At all. Yeah, so I hope this has been informative in terms of our kind of brief delve into the microbiome. This is the sort of stuff that you guys are going to hopefully get from the bonus episodes. A lot of abuse I seem to be getting from my better half.
That's reasonable, though.
Yeah. And
Katie's too polite, you see.
She is.
Yeah.
She is. You don't hold back.
Well, that's why you married me. Well, to be honest.
So I hope you found the first episode insightful.
I did want to ask you one thing, actually, as a get-to-know-you question.
Oh, okay. I thought you knew everything you wanted to know about me.
Well, no, you see, I can call out your bullshit. But Just for listeners, all five of you out there, what is your Instagram guilty pleasure that you'd admit on Instagram versus your real guilty pleasure?
My Instagram guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at my explore page, you know, looking at someone's explore page is a good way of finding out a lot about their personality.
Yeah, but that's only what they put on Instagram and kind of what they look at on Instagram, is it?
So my Instagram page is full of Yorkies.
Yes.
Unfortunately, which is not great, to be honest, because I know how the algorithm works. And apparently looking at your looking at your explore page is a good way of finding out where your posts are going. So a lot of so a lot of
the posts, baby tribe Yorkie fans.
So a lot of the posts I'm sending about feeding newborn health issues
are going to Yorkie owners.
Excellent.
Good.
So they're
to know.
I don't think they're my target audience.
So Instagram savvy people would say that your guilty pleasure is looking at Yorkies, yeah?
Yeah.
And in real life?
I like listening to certain music.
Okay, go on. Yeah. I know where you're going with this. Come on, fess up.
Yeah. My favorite artist at the moment is Ariana Grande.
His favorite artist for a long time is Ariana Grande.
She has an amazing voice.
She does. She's very talented.
And I love her impressions.
And that's funny because I would have said that your real life guilty habit is playing with your friends online.
Oh, Fortnite.
Fortnite with your friends online.
We talked about this last season. That secret's out.
So now we've got you to confess to your Ariana Grande obsession as well.
I'm gonna edit that bit out.
No, don't. If it's not in, I'll get really cross.
Okay, what's your guilty pleasure now?
My guilty pleasure would be perfect evening, sitting down, looking at houses for sale. Various creeping on people's properties, okay, online, and on the TV would be something absolutely trite, like Kardashians, The New Dynasty, something that I barely have to tune into, but is absolutely like crazy storylines or something like that. That would be my guilty pleasure.
So I'm going to say something very rude. So if there's little ears around,
oh God,
this is your warning to either turn this off or cover their ears.
What are you gonna say?
Anne is so obsessed with property that, you know, you could be watching the most gratuitous sex scene on TV.
Stop.
That happens to come on. And then she'd look and say, look at those curtains. Aren't they? I don't think they match.
That's true.
I don't think they match the table.
That's true.
Look at that lamp. Look at the bedside lamp. Gosh, I wouldn't have put that there at all. Oh, I love the bed. And I was like, I'm sorry, Anne. Are we watching the same thing?
That's a nice house.
It's a nice house. Yeah.
That's so true.
That's her obsession. Yeah. Anyway. Any smutty bit over.
Yeah.
You see, you're not very prominent on Instagram.
No.
Which is to my advantage because I can put you on my page and get the likes. I worry that if you start
using your
Instagram.
I don't have a digital life, really.
Great. And that makes you mysterious and makes people want to find out more about you through my page.
I have trust issues, so I wouldn't trust anybody based on their digital life. I really wouldn't.
Maggie won't let me post any pictures of her on my Instagram page.
She's
to show
she's
the world,
100% correct.
To show the world what a loving father I am.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. And get all those likes. So
she's 100% correct.
So I use Anne and Buddy.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, the likes and follows.
There
anyway,
you go.
We hope that you enjoyed the first episode. Thank you so much for subscribing. We really, really enjoy your support. All the funds are going to go to buying Anne new furniture because that's all she seems to want to do.
I don't want any new furniture.
No, joking aside, it's going to help us grow the show. It's going to help us reach more people. So thank you so much for the support. We really, really appreciate it. And for the five listeners that have put up with us for the entirety of the first episode, we hope to see you all back next week.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.